Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Back here on 96.5, The Fan, joined now by Nico Remigio of the Kansas City Chiefs. Nico, welcome back. You're going to have to keep doing this because since you've been on the show, you've done nothing but produce. So now we expect a 100-yard kick return in the Super Bowl to go up 7-0 to start the game. What say you?
Third time's a charm for sure. So that we're definitely on route.
Yeah, and also, yeah, you got it. You keep doing good things, and you keep winning as well. I mean, that's the other thing that's so awesome about all this is you guys just continue to win. What was it like on Sunday night being able to be part of all that and seeing that AFC Championship banner raised and the trophy celebrated and knowing you're going to New Orleans for the Super Bowl?
Man, just such a blessing. And, you know, I really can't express how grateful I am to – you know, be given this opportunity to be living out my childhood dream and, you know, playing on the biggest stage in the world. You know, it's truly a dream come true for me.
When you hear the names like Tiger Woods and Tom Brady and Michael Jordan, do you put Patrick Mahomes' name in that category?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, that man is different. And, you know, obviously everybody knows and can see his success and greatness from the outside, but I can truly say from being inside the building, you know, it's incredible to watch.
Yeah, what is that like when you're going through practice or you're going through, you know, training camp or you're getting ready for a game and he walks in the room? I assume everybody kind of shuts up and is kind of knows that he's here. It's time to kind of like focus on this, but also he can be a captain, he can be a teammate, he can be a stone-cold-blooded killer, but he can also be a best friend. I think that's kind of the best. You put all that into one body, and you get the best of all those sort of personality traits.
It's impressive, man. I don't know how he does it. You know, this man never has an off day. You know, it seems like he's always on, and like you said, off the field, he's a great person to be around. So, you know, to be able to have him as my teammate and to get to know him and build a relationship with him, you know, he's truly a special human being.
Nico, how much does that drive everybody else? When you said he never has an off day, like everybody has bad days, right? We all have personal things going on, the ups and downs of just life in general. And to see him never have a bad day, how does that impact everybody else that is in this organization and on this team?
I mean, he's a driver in the culture. And there's a standard that, you know, starts from the top down. You know, starting with Coach Reed and how he holds his coaches to a certain standard and obviously the veteran players doing the same for the younger guys on the team. So, you know, to be around guys like Pat and you know, the numerous amount of vets that we have on the team, that standard is contagious. And winning championships is contagious. It's hard not to catch on, so...
It's interesting. He's 29 years old, still very young in his youth. But what does he tell you guys when the playoffs start? Like, obviously, you don't have to give away all the, like, you know, fine cut, you know, secrets. But, like, when the playoffs are starting and, you know, the media has the doubts or this seems like Buffalo's year, like, does that get brought up or is it just like, hey, we just shut off that outside noise. We know what we have to do. And he gets us ready for the games.
Yeah. I mean, the premise of his message is always revolving around just me and us. Right, just being us is what got us to this point. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's an opportunity out there. So take advantage of it. And it's really that simple.
Yeah, there's a huge opportunity, obviously, with the legacy for Patrick and the legacy for Andy Reid to win 3 straight Super Bowls. I know the week hasn't kind of gotten going yet, but everybody's talking like, how vital is it for you guys to go out there and win this Super Bowl just for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes alone?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the stakes are huge, but, you know, I think Coach Reed and the vets on the team do a great job of keeping our approach consistent and just making it another game, right? I mean, I think if you make the game bigger than what it is, then it'll be just that. But, you know, you go out there and play 4 quarters of, you know, championship football like we've been doing all year, then, you know, it's hard to stop. So...
What about Philadelphia is interesting to you, Nico?
What a challenge, man. What a challenge. What a great team from the top down. You know, offense, defense, special teams, they've really got the complete package. And, you know, they wouldn't be in this position for no reason. So, you know, the fact that we are preparing to face them, you know, I couldn't be more excited for the challenge.
Do you look forward to this game more? Last year you were on IR, part of the team, but let's be honest, when you're on IR, how can you really be part of that team, right? And whatnot? And now you're the returner. You've had a couple of big returns. Like, for you personally, how is this one different from last year?
Living out my childhood dream, man. I mean, you know, after being in the Super Bowl last year, obviously had a mix of emotions and, you know, made it a point to get myself prepared mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally to play in this game. And now that we're here, you know, I'm just so grateful, so excited, and ready to take on this challenge.
Are you guys going to be able to go see Kendrick Lamar at halftime, or is that an absolute no?
I think that's a big no-no.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll hear about it from my wife and all.
Who was it a couple of years ago that stayed out and watched the halftime show? Was it Jalen Hurts a couple of years ago that said, I'm staying and I'm watching, and I forget who the hell it was now, at halftime? Or what, Beyonce? Wasn't it Beyonce that somebody wanted to watch Beyonce?
Evan McPherson, the Bengals kicker.
Evan McPherson, okay. Yeah, so if he's doing it, I mean, you might as well, right?
He might have a little bit more leeway than me. I'm going to stay my ass in the locker room.
So what's this week like for you guys? I know there's a lot of I's and T's and all that crap to be dotted and crossed and whatnot, but like, what are you guys doing as a team, and what's the routine this week?
Yeah, I mean, we're having a pretty standard week of practice. You know, obviously a few more extra days off just because we do have the bye this week, but yeah, I mean, approaching it like a normal week, getting a jump on the game plan, and just trying to get ahead of it. You know, obviously it gets busy once we get out there to New Orleans with media and whatnot. So, you know, as much business that we can handle and as much time that we can take advantage of before getting to the game, I think that's the plan.
Any kind of talk with you guys about how everybody blames the referees for why you guys keep winning? Because I know from our standpoint, enough's enough with this. You got to move on from that. What's the feeling with you guys when you constantly hear nitwits and losers talk about the referees or the reasons why you keep winning?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that I've seen and heard. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't have too much to say about it because, you know, I'm going out there and playing the best football that I can possibly play. And that goes for the rest of the team as well. And, you know, at the end of the day, the officials and everybody who's a part of it is doing the best job to their abilities. And, you know, to say that it plays a factor, it's definitely not something that we think about at all or talk about. Or, you know, I only really hear it when I'm watching the media or whatnot.
No doubt.
Talking to the media.
Probably going to be a big moment for you. Say childhood dream. You're going to be in that end zone in, you know, the dome that is in New Orleans in the Super Bowl. Anything that's going to change, anything that's going to be on your mind when that ball gets kicked off and you're back there and you're ready to start this game, or maybe it's, you know, you guys take Philadelphia 3-and-out and you get the opportunity to, you know, or they get a field goal and they kick off. What goes through Nico's head in that very moment?
So this is an opportunity to score. Mm-hmm. So go do it.
How awesome would that be?
Hey, we're working for it.
So. Whatever you do, don't throw the football into the stands. Hold on to that thing as tight as you can.
And don't drop it before you cross the goal line either, you know? Yeah,
get that thing secure. What would you do with the football? I am honestly intrigued by this. If you did get a touchdown on a kick return in the Super Bowl, what happens to that football for you?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm telling myself I've got to keep it, but there's no containing that burst of emotion once I get there. So
yeah,
I'm going to try and hold on to it. I hope one of my teammates grabs it if I drop it, but you know, yeah, we'll be all right.
You know, Mahomes will do that for you, right? Like he takes care of everything, right? Like that dude he's all about awareness and what's going on. So if you score and you flip that ball, he'll go in the crowd and get that for you.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That'd be awesome, man. Well, hey, enjoy this week. You know, these things don't come very often in life, let alone they've came 3 straight years here for the Chiefs, but enjoy this one. Best of luck and have fun this week and the next week. Gear up for that Super Bowl game.
No doubt. Thank you guys so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You got it, Nico. Nico Romijo right here with us on 96.5 The Fan, friend of the show, big-time returner since he's come on the show. He's been pretty effective, though.
Yeah, can't lie about that. Big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. Ross Tucker will join us on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. From Nico Romijo to Ross Tucker. Ross, how are you on this beautiful Tuesday day here in the world of sports before the Super Bowl starts?
I am fantastic. Was Romijo just on the show?
He was. Yeah.
Wow, that was a very big play by him. You know, this doesn't happen very often for me because I follow college and NFL so closely. But, like, whenever he became the returner, I don't know if it was midway through the year or maybe you guys will tell me it's right from the start of the year, I never heard of the guy.
No, neither did we.
Like, yeah, that almost never happens. All of a sudden, there's a guy, like, and I'm like, wait. Who is? I never heard of him in college. I never heard of him, period.
Yeah, I think you're like a lot of us, but that's what makes Brett Veach so marvelous at what he does is he finds guys like Nico Romijo, who went to Fresno State and ended up graduating from there, and then you don't hear of him, and then on December 7th, like, all right, active roster time, go see what you can do, and he has two huge returns in the postseason. Like, that's Brett Veach in a nutshell, isn't it?
It really is. It's super impressive. We've talked about him a lot. You know, I think a lot of times the only way you have sustained success like the Chiefs have had because of free agency and because you lose guys for various reasons like Tyreek Hill and Legarius Sneed, you got to be able to backfill it with other guys that can really contribute even though they're not making that much money or people might not know much about them. And Romijo is a pretty good example of that. I mean, it's just super impressive. I think you forget sometimes that during this run that, you know, some of the guys that we would have said were their best players the last few years aren't there anymore, and yet the winning just keeps going.
Yeah.
I mean, last year, Sneed was incredible. it's And then the next year, they have an even better record, and they're in the Super Bowl again.
It's amazing. You also have the Brett Veach of Valentine's gifts coming up, don't you?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it's funny, because I've told you guys this before, but both Matt Nagy and Brett Veach are my age, and both within, like, 30 minutes. Brett might be more like 45 minutes away from where I grew up. So love those guys, and I think that they're probably like me. You know, we take a lot of personal responsibility and accountability, which we can get to because I posted that on social media in terms of, you know, people complaining about the refs. But then the other thing is just tell people how you feel about them. You know, like love is important. Love matters. Life is short. Make sure the people that are special in your life know, you know, just how special they are to you. You know, it's called myfrontpagestory.com. A buddy of mine started the company. It's like the best Valentine's Day gift I've ever heard of. You literally go to the website, throw your email address in, you get an immediate 20% off, which is huge. But then you talk to a writer for 10 minutes while you're driving home from work, or you can fill out an email or whatever. They write this incredible story about your wife. Like, it looks like it's on the cover of the KC Star. It's framed. It's beautiful. Pictures of you and her. If you have kids, pictures of the kids. And just to be able to say to her when you give it to her, honey, I want to do something special, so I had a story written about you. Like, that sounds amazing. When she reads the quotes and you say, I don't thank her nearly enough for all the little things she does, they cry almost every time. And then it's like hanging up in the house forever. So it's the gift that keeps on giving. Next time you get in an argument, they're like, oh, really? Did you have a story written about me? No, you didn't. I had a story written about you. So I highly recommend it. Myfrontpagestory.com. You got to change that. You can't do flowers around the dinner every year. Change it up. Shocker. She won't be expecting it. MyFrontPageStory.com.
Ross, speaking of flowers, Andy Reid could get a lot of those in 2 weeks from, you know, yesterday or Sunday, whatever you want to call it. John Ewing on Twitter has a tweet out that says, the fifth time we have seen a rematch between coaches in the Super Bowl. The coach that has won the previous game went 4-0 in the rematch. What say you about that stat, and what's your prediction of this game so far that we know about Philadelphia versus Kansas City?
I don't think that much about that stat, because all that tells me is that they probably had the better team a lot of times, right? I mean, they won the first one, so they probably had the better team. What's interesting in particular about Andy Reid and Mahomes is that this will be the second time in 3 years they've played Nick Sirianni and the Eagles, and they don't have the better team. I mean, I think if you went through it, I think most people would agree that the Eagles have the better roster top to bottom. They have the better overall team, but the Chiefs are better at quarterback, and they're certainly more accomplished at head coach, that's for sure. And if you think it's going to be a close game, man, a lot of it comes down to that. A lot of it comes down to quarterback and head coach. And, you know, the Chiefs have a very much a Belichick-Brady thing going on, where close games, late one-score games, you expect them to win. I mean, I just recorded my betting podcast, which is the Even Money Betting Podcast, and my co-host is like a math wizard, right? And he said the Chiefs winning 17 straight one-score games, the odds of that are 1 in 125,000. 1 in 125,000 to win 17 straight one-score games. It's super, super impressive what they've done.
Yeah, and really to me, Ross, they go to another level winning three in a row and raising that Lombardi in less than 2 weeks now. To me, it cements Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes as the two greatest of all time. I know he's not up there with the wins of Shula and the wins of Tom Brady, you know, from a player quarterback perspective, but to do something that no one in the history of the world has ever done, to me, supersedes everything.
Well, I'm with you on the Andy Reid part of it.
Okay.
I'm with you on the Andy Reid part of it. I think if they win it, I think he's got a really, really strong argument. I never was a guy that thought Belichick was the best coach of all time. And the reason why I say that is because he only really had success with Brady. You know what I mean? Like, I think he won one playoff game maybe ever without Brady, and he coached like 10 years without Brady. If you include the 2008 year when Brady was hurt, he coached like 10 years without him, has one playoff win. I kind of always was partial, to be honest with you, to Joe Gibbs. You know, Joe Gibbs went to 4 Super Bowls, but more importantly, he won 3 Super Bowls with 3 different non-Hall of Fame quarterback. Mm. That is crazy. And then went to the playoffs with, I think, 3 other non-Pro Bowl quarterbacks. I mean, the guy won Super Bowls with Theismann, Doug Williams, Mark Rippon. Then he went to the playoffs with Jay Schrader and Brunell and Todd Collins when he came back the second time. But I think if you combine what Andy Reid did in Philly, not just with McNabb, but with other quarterbacks too, Kevin Cobb and A.J. Thiele and those guys, and you combine that with what he did with Alex Smith and now with Mahomes, I think Andy has a really, really compelling argument. I think Mahomes has been fantastic. I think, you know, because of what Brady did in Tampa, again, I put a lot of stock in showing you can do it with a different coach and a different group. For Brady to go to Tampa and win it immediately with Arians as his coach, a totally different group of people against Mahomes, I can't give it to Mahomes if they win this one.
Ross, I want to ask you this before we get you out of here. How impressive, because I know what you did in the NFL, how impressive is what Joe Tooney has done in this last month and a half stretch for the Kansas City Chiefs, also knowing what is on the line in the historic fashion that they're going through right now?
Yeah, I mean, very. Very, very impressive, because you know that as soon as they put a guy out there like that, you know, they're trying to attack him. You know, they feel like it gives them an opportunity, that there's an advantage there. I think that, you know, that's a lesson I've learned. I kind of knew, but if you're a really good player, even if you're primarily a guard, you play tackle in college, you put him out there, he's smart, he takes the right set, he knows where his help is, you can get the job done. It might not always look pretty, and for Joe, it doesn't. You know, you can tell that that's not his natural position, but you can get the job done in those situations if you have a guy like him. To me, we need to be talking about him more. I was really surprised when I looked up that he hasn't made that many Pro Bowls or that many All-Pros or whatever. I was, in my head, I was thinking Joe Tooney has had like a, you know, like a Hall of Fame caliber career. I'm not sure he'll get there, but he's got a ways to, you know, he's not done yet. But what he's done is super, super impressive.
Before we let you get out of here, do you think the referee narrative is ever going to end with the Chiefs?
I think if there's a game where there aren't clear calls that seem to go their way, I think it would. You know, and I think we almost got there in the AFC Championship game. I didn't think either one of those were that egregious. That's what's so unfortunate about it. I mean, like, they reviewed both of them, and they didn't overturn it. You know, the two that I'm talking about, the Cole Bishop, Worthy play, and the spot. So my whole thing is this. If they review it, and it's not indisputable visual evidence for them to be able to overturn it, then shut up. Shut up. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a play that they couldn't review, like the Texans roughing penalties or whatever. These are two plays that were reviewable.
Mm-hmm.
McDermott, Chubb, they didn't overturn it. It wasn't enough. It wasn't that obvious. So you know what? Kincaid has to catch the pass. Paul Bishop, don't get it ripped out of you. How about don't get stuffed on three quarterback sneaks? How about not calling quarterback sneak as he got stuffed twice? I mentioned personal responsibility and accountability earlier. I believe in that. I like to think that Bills fans are better than this. I think the Texans had a much better argument with plays that you weren't able to challenge. Both these plays got looked at by multiple people, and they said, I just don't know enough. So shut up. That's my thing.
Yeah. All right, Ross, we appreciate the time. Enjoy Super Bowl week next week, and maybe we'll link up in New Orleans at some point. But we appreciate the time today, Mr. Ross Tucker.
Sounds great. See you guys. MyFrontPageStory.com.
You got it. MyFrontPageStory.com. Get on there. Get your Valentine's Day gift now because Ross Tucker told you to.
Is that what Binkley got when he was on the cover of like that magazine?
He did, yeah. Okay. Was he on the cover of a magazine?
Yeah, seeing that picture. That one time he's got the sunglasses on holding the football. It says ESPN the magazine.
Oh, that one.
It was framed in his basement. Like, I mean.
Yeah.
He was on the cover of ESPN magazine. Sunglasses, football, could be your next coach. Facts.
Could be.
I did like that ending there by Ross, where he's like, you got stuffed up the middle. You got your calls reviewed. They were not, there was not enough evidence. So shut up.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it has to be with all of this. And, you know, kind of like we started the show with, I talked to somebody who was, you know, by the TV trucks and all that kind of stuff during the game. And they watched almost 40 different angles and camera views of that stuff on fourth down. Mm-hmm. And there was no evidence that said he got the first down. So you don't have the visual evidence, and there it is. And we move on. And we haven't really talked a lot about the catch and interception one that people are complaining about as well, you know, that took place, you know, inside the 5-yard line there. People are complaining about that. Also, tie goes to the offensive player. I mean, that's just kind of always the rule. And the way that it's been in the NFL, I don't know if the Buffalo Bills are going to petition that next year. We'll just have a do-over on that play. But I mean, like that, that's where we're headed right now. Buffalo's probably going to try to get some other law passed in the NFL because they lost yet another game that they had many opportunities in and of themselves to go out there and take control of and to win. and they never did it. And the Babylon Bee, which is a satirical website out there, has the headline today, you know, Chiefs continue to win because they are better than everybody else. Chiefs accused of rigging games by playing better than other teams. I mean, that's kind of what it's coming down to right now, where it's becoming satirical, because the Chiefs at the end of the day are just playing a better brand of football, a smarter brand of football, and they know how to win these games. And until somebody else can do it, the Chiefs are going to remain on top.
A tweet that Mac had seen that he sent to us from P. Fuller. The idea the Bills didn't play their best game is ridiculous. They recovered every single one of the fumbles, 5, in this game, and none of Josh Allen's 7 turnover-worthy plays turned into turnovers. They also went 4 of 6 on fourth down. They're lucky it was close. I mean, you recover every fumble that happened in the game. You didn't lose one. Mm-hmm. You essentially threw 2 interceptions on the first drive. Not one was caught.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't get more creative on going for it on fourth down. You just went up the middle. You also failed on 2 2-point conversion plays. Like, there's a lot to be blamed on you before there is to be blamed on anything else involving either a opposing player or a referee. Sometimes you got to check the man in the mirror.
Right.
And maybe that's what Buffalo does. And maybe this sort of devastating loss, again, is something that creates Buffalo into this new monster. Or maybe they stew on it and they let it ruin what they could probably put together, which is a great team with a great quarterback.
Yeah, but they will focus on the wrong things this offseason, because that's what Buffalo does. I don't think Houston's going to go to work thinking about the referees in this game. If they do, then they're screwed for next year. You got to go into this offseason if you're Buffalo and take a real, 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 real deep look at that football game and say, what could we have done to keep it out of the hands of the officials? Not that it was in the hands of the officials, but you have to remove the officials from the equation. Do we need to, in basketball, shoot the ball better, make our free throws, play better defense, you know, protect the rim, all that kind of stuff? People always want to blame officials instead of looking at what went on. Team went 3 of 17 from 3-point land. They lost the game. The officials made a bad call. No, you missed 14 3-point shots, man. Like, you got to do better than that. And that's where it is for Buffalo. And I take everything out of that game that happened before 3:33. You still had the ball in that situation with a chance to win, and you didn't capitalize on that. And there was nothing on that series of plays that you could look at and blame the referees for and say the refs didn't do that, or the refs didn't do that, or the refs didn't do that. You didn't execute. You didn't perform. You didn't call the right plays. And as a head coach and as an offensive coordinator, you did not put your team in the best position to win. You didn't rely on your running game. And really, for the second year in a row, in an AFC championship game, the opposition abandoned the running game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And look how it turned out. You've got to study history. You've got to look at the past. And you can't make the same mistakes that were made in the past. I don't care if it was another team. It's the same kind of conversation that we're having out of the Baltimore game. They didn't run the football, and Buffalo didn't run the football, and both of those teams ended up being losers.
Interesting stat from Ryan Hannibal on Twitter. Something to take note ahead of the Super Bowl: Eagles defensive coordinator Vic Fangio has faced the Patrick Mahomes Chiefs 8 times. 6 with Denver, twice with Miami. His teams are 0-8, and Mahomes has thrown 10 touchdowns and 2 interceptions in those games.
Mm. I thought we were going to see better than that, because I feel like when Fangio was in Denver, maybe I'm wrong, didn't they play us well, or maybe they didn't, I don't know, at that point in time. And who was coaching the Denver Broncos over the last 10 years? It seems like everybody. But, you know, again, that's all great. That's all fantastic. But you still got to go out there and take care of business. And that's why what, you know, Nico Remigio said to us earlier about, you know, just being us. Patrick Mahomes says just be us out there. And you got, you know, Seth Joyner, who we heard from earlier in Philadelphia, talking about, you know, I don't care about Patrick Mahomes. I don't care about the Chiefs. And you're thinking about the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are going, we just got to be us, man. If we just go out there and take care of our business, we're going to be fine. We're going to go out there and win football games. Right. And if you don't focus on that and you focus on all that extracurricular stuff, then you're going to find ways to lose. And once everybody gets down to New Orleans and all the reporters from all over the world are asking people about the referees, especially the Philadelphia Eagles, it's going to become a big story again. The Chiefs do a great job of just blocking that out and not worrying about it. Nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo failed. Simple as that. That's a game where you have to be perfect, and you weren't perfect. I guess I should take that back a little bit. Not perfect, but you've got to be yourselves. And Buffalo scored more. I mean, literally, the Bills, their defense allowed 30 points or more to the Chiefs, which they only did that twice all year. The Chiefs did.
Mm-hmm.
Spags was able to get in Josh Allen's head and make him uncomfortable. If he has 1 to 2 more seconds more on that final throw, he probably completes it. Now, he didn't drop it.
Right.
But again, that's where that sort of thing happens. Like, all game long, you're asking, where's the pressure from Spags? Where's the pressure from Spags? He knew in that moment when to do it. Not perfect, but he knew the perfect time to call that play. And in that situation, the catch isn't going to be easy, but you've got to make that catch if you want to continue to keep going. They did make the catch. Game's over. Chiefs go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You also have to know when the blitz. I mean, I know there wasn't a lot of blitzing all game, and I'm sure people were kind of getting, you know, all worried about that, but there's a time and place for everything. There's a feel for a game. As you're moving through a game, you have to have a feel as to what's going on and how this game's developing and how this game's progressing. The Chiefs sideline has a feel for that. They understand the ebbs and flows of games more so now than ever before. And you got a feel on the Buffalo sidelines. It felt like they just didn't get the feel and understanding of what was going on in that football game and how they can move that thing forward. They didn't have the feel for that game and the feel for what was going on. And, you know, they have experience now. Like, the excuses are done for Buffalo. They've got to find a way to get this thing over the hump. Otherwise, we got to stop talking about the Buffalo Bills being some kind of rival to the Chiefs.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, 0-4 in the playoffs, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Of course, if you've been on social media today, you can see the clean Super Bowl jerseys, the all-white with the logo on the right side, the AFC Lamar Hunt patch on the left. Wish they were red.
Even though Alex did tweet, Alex Gold, the teams in the last 20 years are 16-4 that wear white. Two of those losses were San Francisco to the Chiefs.
Could you imagine how much the NFL will hate the Chiefs if the 4 Super Bowl wins that Mahomes has would be against 2 of the same teams? Like, who would hate the Chiefs more, Buffalo, San Francisco, or Philadelphia?
America.
That'd be insane. 2 teams, 2 Super Bowls, 2 teams, 4 Super Bowls, and then you have a team that has lost you 4 times in the playoffs and never gotten a chance to go to the Super Bowl because you keep beating them.
And yet baseball gets the rap that there's no parity in their game. The last 4 Super Bowls, Philly, San Francisco, Kansas City.
Yeah, well, at least there's a salary cap.
Duval.
And there's that guy that gets to be a coach.
Duval.
Coming up on the other side, we'll wrap up this show here on 96.5 The Fan on Fesco and Dusty and Mac. And don't forget, the big game is brought to you by here on 96.5 The Fan, Community America Credit Union. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at CommunityAmerica.com. We'll be right back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
I'm kind of pissed off at Mac, Bob. I did a nice thing for somebody today because I thought maybe it would change his day, his morning.
You heated up used food.
I heated up a hot dog and the bun and brought it in for him for an at-the-turn glizzy.
Well, just because you did that doesn't mean he has to eat it.
Yeah, I figured he might have.
Your glizzy.
Did you eat it?
I wasn't hungry.
Uh-huh.
But I would have.
Neither.
Okay, I'll eat one after the show.
I will not. Also, I had to smell the glizzy at ripe 7:30 in the morning, whenever it was.
It was like 8. It was at the turn. Right. That's halfway. Right. Come on. Get your golf lingo down, dude. Glizzy at the turn, glizzy at 8. I'll eat one after the show. I'll go heat it up. Because we've got a big meeting after this show. Silence from Bob.
You can see my reaction on the camera to big meeting.
Yeah. Have you ever had a big meeting? Like when they say it's a big meeting?
No.
Like where you walked out and you're like, holy cow.
Not really.
Didn't see that one coming.
Nope.
Okay.
I don't.
I mean, there's always like those things where it's like jumbo shrimp.
Yeah.
It's like there's no such thing.
Yeah. Nah. I'm trying to think of like, if there's ever been like those, wow, oh my God moments. Like
the Bailey Zappi.
That was, yeah.
But that was like in the, like making fun of like the meeting.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't even remember what that meeting was about. So it shows you how big that either. Meeting was, right?
You see, Bailey Zappi is going to do that. This gives you fire.
I do not give a rat's ass about Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Amen.
I really don't.
You should.
No, I don't. I'm not saying that I'm taking them lightly, or I'm not saying that I disrespect them. I do not care about them. You understand what I'm saying? And when you play football, that has to be your mentality. If you go out there with any kind of apprehension about how great that guy is, I don't care how great Patrick Mahomes is. I'm trying to hurt him today.
See, that's where it crosses the line for me. You know, we're not talking about hurting someone in the NFL. I do think that is a little bit, I don't even want to use the term disrespectful. That's a bad look right there for Seth Joyner. You know, we had Mike Florio do that 4 years ago at the Super Bowl in Miami and tell us that, or 5 years ago now, whenever that was, that, you know, you should go out there and try to hurt Patrick Mahomes, and everybody lost their mind off of that, as they should. When you're advocating to injure somebody in a game, that to me is dirty, it is deceitful, and it is disgusting. And Seth Joyner is all of those for advocating, I'm trying to hurt Patrick Mahomes. First of all, you're not playing. You haven't played in a long time. Andy Reid, your former coach, I don't think he's going to like the way that sounds there. And to sit there on a radio station in Philadelphia and advocate for something like that really does bother me, because now you're already looking at this. The only way you have an opportunity to beat the Chiefs is to injure Patrick Mahomes. And I was with Seth Joyner all the way up until the end, where he says, I don't give a crap about them. That's great. You can't worry about what the Kansas City Chiefs are going to do. You have to focus on you and Saquon Barkley and your defense and all that kind of stuff. You don't have time to worry about the opposition going into one of these games. You got to focus on you. Great. But then at the end there to say that, you know, I'm going to try to hurt this guy, I'm not an advocate of that. And I don't think many people around the league are advocates of that, especially at the quarterback position, when they are the face, name, and likeness of everybody's roster in a quarterback-driven league. There's no reason for somebody to come out there and say that. I just really think it's in poor taste by Seth Joyner to sit on a radio show and talk about injuring Patrick Mahomes.
When did Andy take over for Philadelphia?
1999, I believe, was his first year there.
So he was still in Green Bay in 97? So that would have been... Okay. So I'm just trying to see if he actually played with Andy. I guess it would have been 97 with the Packers. But either way, that makes even more sense. You have that sort of mentality to hurt somebody if you never got to have that relationship with Andy Reid. Look, this is tough for me, because I'm going to sound like I'm taking the complete opposite side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're a opposing player going up against a great quarterback, you want to rattle him. Like, you want to know that you're there. I'm not saying that they're going to try to, like, give Patrick Mahomes a concussion, or they're going to try to break his leg, or they're going to do anything like that. But I think when he says you want to hurt, you want to, like, you know, let him know you're there. Like, you know, knock him down a little bit. Like, when you sack him, make sure you let him know that you were the one that sacked him. When he tries to do one of those runs, you know, let him make sure he doesn't want to do those runs. Because I think we would all say the same thing about, you know, like, I don't want the Chiefs to necessarily hurt Jalen Hurts, but I want them to let him know that, like, he's not going to be comfortable. I guess verbiage is important when you talk about stuff like this.
It is very important.
Because I don't think he means, like, I want to go out there and, like, break his neck. Like, I'm not saying that I want people to do that. I'm just saying I think what he's saying is just the way he said it was unprofessional.
It's not what you say, it's how you say it a lot of the times. And, like, I understand the mentality of a football player. We want to go out there and take care of business and do all that.
Yeah.
But they're also, these guys are also, you know, they're all in the union together. Like, they're all brothers out there at the end of the day competing for the same thing. Everybody trying to make more money and win championships, right? Patrick Mahomes brings more money to this league, brings more eyeballs to this league. Every time he's out there on the field playing in a game, it is great for the NFL, and it's great for all those guys inside the NFL. And so if you're an opposing player and you talk about, hey, man, we got to limit what Patrick Mahomes is going to do. We got to keep him inside the pocket. We can't let him get outside and run and use his legs, because when he does, he's so devastating with that. We can't let him, you know, get comfortable back there. We got to put pressure on. That's all well and good. But the minute you start advocating for hurt and injure to another player, that's kind of when my alarm system goes up. And that's what I think a lot of people's alarm system goes up. And they're like, that's not the way you go about doing it. Because Mike Florio was considered a pariah for advocating injuring Patrick Mahomes in that first Super Bowl. I think Seth Joyner needs to fall into that same kind of category as a pariah, because he's advocating hurting Patrick Mahomes. And there's just no place for that in the NFL right now.
Well, that's fine. Let him have a bum ankle. Ask everybody else what happens. Ask Philadelphia about what happens when he has a bum ankle.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Go hurt that ankle. Let me know how that works out for you.
The last time we won a Super Bowl, I could still get hard without taking a pill. Nowadays, my dinger just looks like a wet biscuit.
Okay. Somebody says, why is Dusty always trying to get people to eat? Am I always trying to get people to eat? I mean, I can't believe you turned down a glizzy at the turn, but that's, you know, whatever. Start, bench, cut, hamburger, hot dog, bratwurst.
Ooh.
Or hot dog, brat, Polish.
Oh, definitely benching Polish. Not benching, cutting Polish.
Interesting.
I'm starting the brat.
You're going to start a hot dog over a Polish?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'd bench the hot dog, cut the Polish, start the brat.
I think I'd start the hamburger.
I think I'd start Polish, bench brat, cut hot dog. I don't need that pink slime. Polish with sauerkraut and mustard? Mm. But I guess I am always trying to get people to eat. Text line, Mac, Bob, bringing in food, doing all that sort of stuff.
You can bring in what you brought in last time, anytime. Low and slow chips were fantastic.
Market. yeah, no, I'm kidding. So I do want to bring this up before we get out of here because we were talking about, you know, just, you know, what this game can mean. I think is today, are we as a show and as a city, do we bury Buffalo? Is it over? Do we stop the Buffalo talk?
It just all depends on what the conversation turns into throughout the day. I mean, like Josh Allen is now claiming he has a hurt wrist.
Oh, after the game or was it before the game?
I'll look that up. I just was looking at the headline on Pro Football Talk.
Duval.
Cause I can talk about that guy.
I thought you guys loved him a week ago.
I'm still not out.
I'm not out. I just think you can't do this.
Duval.
I just don't do that. You never go full Adam Gase. He went full Adam Gase. Josh Allen had a hurt wrist after the game, before the game.
Here it is. I got a little banged up right now. A wrist, Allen said via Kathleen Fitzgerald of the Buffalo News. So I got to talk with the docs right now and figure out if I'll be able to go in the Pro Bowl. Allen said the injury was brand new. It was just right at the goal line, the two-point play before halftime.
Yep.
Got crunched up a little bit, Allen said. I was able to finish the game with just some swelling and stuff today.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, that was a hell of a football game. That's what happens. You're going to get banged up. Nobody said in the Chiefs that they wanted to injure him, though, or hurt him.
Maybe if you don't go for two in that situation, you don't put your quarterback in a position to potentially get banged up and just kick the extra point. Maybe he gets a little more oomph on that ball at the end.
Is that the one where he kind of reached over? Is that that play where he was trying to, like, reach over the pylon?
I don't know what the first two-point play was. I can't remember right now. If he was trying to jump over the top and got bounced back, I do remember that, but, you know.
Yeah.
Mac, I don't know how you feel about this as we transition to college football, wrapping up the show. NFL Rookie Watch on X.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Milroe is reportedly expected to make an Anthony Richardson type of jump in the draft by several NFL GMs and scouts.
There's nobody available. Yikes.
Many NFL scouts reportedly believe Milroe has, quote, one of the most impressive builds they've ever seen in a quarterback prospect. Here we go. That's just the new modern day to say makeup. There are even some scouts that reportedly believe a team in the top five could, quote, reach for a guy like Milroe given his physical attributes. Milroe would join Bryce Young and Tua Tagovailoa as recent Alabama quarterbacks to be selected in the top five. Milroe is set to participate in the Senior Bowl practice and games this week.
Yikes.
Don't like it?
Don't like that at all. We've watched the banking on physical skills and a couple of flashes twice now in Anthony Richardson. And before that, I believe Trey Lance could be put in that category. There's another name I'm forgetting that could be put in that category. These are all just flashes of
Jamarcus
physical.
Russell, anybody taken after the season when they had the COVID, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, you mentioned, and whoever else was taken in that
Richardson's
draft.
Richardson's a big one. I'm not completely out on Richardson, but, I mean, you're taking him based on nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only reason Milroe is raising his stock right now is because there's nobody else. I saw some talent scout yesterday, whatever you want to call these guys, that said you know, all of these quarterbacks right now would all be picked after the first six that went in last year's draft. So say what you want about Bo Nix, Michael Penix, all those guys. Every person available in this draft this year would be 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And so put that into perspective when you're talking about adding a quarterback in and having to reach for a quarterback in this year's draft is not a good thing.
From the 913, sounds like an Oakland Raider.
Probably. No, the Oakland Raider is Shedeur Sanders.
Oh. Well, go do something nice for somebody today. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year, like getting them a hot dog at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's simply cool to care. Stay kind. Stay safe. Coming up on the other side, it is Cody Golden Drew from 10 to 2.